I guess this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home, Text 22. Tameva vatsasaya britya vatsalam. Mumukshubhi migya parabdha parhitam. Ananya bhavye niche dharma bhavitte. Manasavyasthyata bhajyasva purusham. Tam. Him. Eva. Also. Vatsa. My dear boy. Ashraya. Take shelter. Britya vatsalam. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is very kind to his devotees. Mumukshubhihi. By persons desiring liberation. Migya. To be sought. Parabja. The lotus feet. Padhatim. System. Ananya bhave. In an unflinching situation. Nijya dhamma bhavite. Being situated in one's constitutional position. Manasi. Unto the mind. Avastatya. Placing. Bhajasva. Go on executing devotional service. Purusham, the Supreme Person. Translation, my dear boy, you should also take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Becoming purified by executing your allotted occupation, just situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart. And without deviating for a moment, engage always in his service. Please repeat, my dear boy, you should also take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Becoming purified by executing your allotted occupation, just situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart, and without deviating for a moment, engage always in his service. Purport by Sivanga Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The system of Bhakti Yoga described by Queen Suniti to her son is the standard way of God realization. Everyone can continue in his constitutional occupational duties and at the same time keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. This was also instructed by the Lord himself to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Go on fighting, but keep me within your mind. That should be the motto of every honest person seeking perfection in Krishna consciousness. In this connection, Queen Suniti advised her son that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Britya Vatsala, which indicates that he is very kind to his devotees. She said, you came to me crying, having been insulted by your stepmother, but I am unable to do any good for you. But Krishna is so kind to his devotees that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me would be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. When everything else fails to mitigate one's misery, Krishna is able to help the devotee. Queen Sumati also stressed that the process of approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not easy, but it is sought after by great sages who are very advanced in spiritual realization. Queen Sumati also indicated by her instruction that Dhruva Maharaj was only a small child, 5 years old, and it was not possible for him to purify himself by the way of karma kanda. But by the process of bhakti yoga, even a child less than 5 years old, or anyone of any age, can be purified. That is the special significance of bhakti yoga. Therefore she advised him not to accept worship of the demigods or any other process, but simply take to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the result would be all perfection. As soon as one places the Supreme Personality of Godhead within one's heart, everything becomes easy and successful. End of purport. Translation again. My dear boy, you should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Becoming purified by executing your allotted occupation, just situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart, and without deviating for a moment, engage always in his service. Here, continuing the instructions of Sunithi to Dhruva, it appeared from the onset that Sunithi was a very simple woman, that you should go to the, if you want, only God can help you. That kind of desire that you have, only God can help you. And we see the sages, they go to the forest, so God must be in the forest. So if you should go to the anyway, you should but then she's given some very succinct instructions here, which is why this story is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting the process of pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. And that is what she is actually, that's what's coming out in advice to Dhruva. Of course, I doubt she actually expected him to take off and go to the forest, and that was, probably wasn't, although she was saying things like this, she probably didn't expect him to do it at 5 years old. But anyway, he went and did it, and he was successful. A success story. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face within a very, very short time by the mercy of his mother and his guru and Krishna. Everything is actually running on mercy and his determination. To follow the instructions of his gurus, mother and Narad Muni. So that's actually the secret of success, how sincerely you endeavor to follow the instructions of Krishna, either directly or indirectly. We get those instructions directly from Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, etc., or through the devotees. That is the underlying secret. One has to be perform the prescribed activities of devotional service sincerely, and then Krishna is pleased at your endeavor. Otherwise, how can a person, conditioned soul in Kali Yuga, 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair, smaller than an atom in this gigantic universe, surrounded by billions of other universes, everything is against the living entity's quest for spiritual life in the material world. It's a place where one comes to forget God, forget the Lord, to imitate the Lord. So this is the This is the consciousness that the living entities have in this jagat, in the material world. How to imitate God, take God's position, independence. So sincerity means becoming dependent. It means you're actually accepting the instructions. You're actually accepting the prescribed duties, activities. That are given. That's sincerity. You're actually hearing them and accepting them and applying them. So that's all it takes. The work is done, the magic is done by the potency that is in Krishna's word. But if you do this, if you are sincerely follow this, you'll become very dear to me. That is the magic in the process. It's we attract the attention of the Krishna or his pure devotees, and that is all that's necessary. Otherwise, you have to follow these instructions. Krishna's, as Prabhupada mentions here, Krishna says to Arjuna, go on fighting. That in the 8th chapter, Krishna says, perform your prescribed duties, Arjuna, perform your occupational duties, always thinking of me, Krishna. Perform your occupational duties. He's supposed to fight. You're fighting. But perform it as an activity to me with your mind and intelligence fixed in me. And you will surely attain me, without doubt. This is Krishna's promise to Arjuna. So that's the way of activity, a way of performing. And you see, they were successful. Arjuna was successful. The Pandavas were successful, even though, materially speaking, they had no chance. They were outnumbered by huge armies. They didn't really have a chance to do that materially. By logic, by intelligence, it doesn't apply in devotional service. You simply have to sincerely execute. You can't understand. It's magical. It's mystical. It's like when you eat your food, you don't understand what's happening. How it's being digested, and the energy is being distributed to the body, and you're feeling awake and fresh and energetic and strong again. You don't know how it works, but it works. So it's the same thing. We don't know how this process works, and you don't have to really know how it works. If you want to, you can also, if that's your nature, you can also inquire into how all these detailed things, the technology of devotional service, and there's lots of literature explaining that. If you want to try to understand all these things, you engage in your mind in the positive thing. So Sunita is saying you should perform your allotted occupation, or it means devotion, perform your prescribed activities. Prescribed activities means Vedic prescribed activities, beginning with the Garbhadana, Samskara, perform all these different activities, and that will keep, if you perform these prescribed activities, that will keep you safe in the material world, and sane, if you just perform those. But you should always know that Krishna says you should perform these activities without attachment to the result. Even though they're material duties, but still you have to have some material duty. You have to have some activity in this world. You have to exist in this world somehow or other. So therefore these prescribed duties are given, and they're purifying, and also within those prescribed activities, Vedic activities, there's also some spiritual activities connected, a little bit there, in between, there's spiritual, like you're chanting, you'll hear the name of Vishnu, you hear Om. You'll you'll may take the prasadam after the thing has been performed. There'll be some Vishnu prasad. You give some illumination to the Brahmana, he may be a pure devotee, Vaishnava. So within your material function to achieve your desired result, you're getting all this sukriti is coming. So therefore one has to perform these, obliged to perform these activities. Krishna says in the 18th chapter also that, in my opinion, he says some people say they should be given up as troublesome, like the jnanis, also the yogis. Yogis give it, it's all material, it's all concerned with eating, sleeping, mating, defending, give it all up. But Krishna says, in my opinion, my final opinion, is that these acts of sacrifice, charity, penance should not be given up, because they purify even the great souls. They shouldn't be given up. This is my final opinion. 18th chapter. Then a little while later, Krishna says, Savadaman Pritya, Mami Kamsanamaja, abandon all varieties of religion, give up all these dharmas. So it's not a contradiction, because it means when you Savadaman Pritya, Mami Kamsanamaja, it means then aham some ham tam sava papa, I will protect it. If you surrender unto me, I will protect you from the sinful reaction, which you're bound to occur somewhere. You can't avoid, you can't live in this world without performing some kind of simple activity. Not possible. Everyone is living at the expense of somebody else. Right? We're eating at the expense of someone else's life. But if Krishna says, if you surrender to me, I will relieve you from that reaction, that sinful reaction, because you surrender to me, because I'm the controller. It's my program, I'm making the rules, and I can change the rules. You surrender to me, that rule won't affect you. That rule of sin won't affect you, because you surrender to me. I'll nullify that. He's the supreme independent Lord. We're trying to be independent, but we don't do a very good job. Being independent of Krishna means you got to be dependent on. We are dependent. That's a fact. But the idea that we can be independent is this is enviousness of Krishna. We're jealous of Krishna's independence in the material world, and so there's great competition in the material world, and the result is you stay in the material world as long as that mentality is not given up. So Krishna's. When Krishna says Savadharma and Pratidhaya, first he said you mustn't give up your duties, and he says you can give them up. It means you perform your duties, but you give up the attachment to the result of your duties. So that is actually sannyas, that is actual renunciation. That is saying that in the 18th chapter, that you're performing your activities without expectation of some result. It's a matter of duty. So that means giving up your dharma. Dharma means religious occupation, which will actually purify you. But Krishna's going to actually purify you. By dharma alone, it'll take too long. How would you get purified? In Kali Yuga especially. Kama Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. They won't. It'll not work in Kali Yuga. So Krishna's given the process of of bhakti. And just as well, what is the dharma in Kali Yuga? What is our dharma now? What is a single girl in ISKCON, or a single boy who's not married, what is his vana and what is his ashram? Don't have one, really. Right? And it says some, but the acharya will give you a service. Right? If you're single and you're not married and you're not a brahmachari, what are you? You're not a grihastha, you're not any of those things. Right? So the acharya he adjusts. He gives you the service, and he gives you a designation. Jiva Sarupa Nitya Krishna Das. You're a servant of Krishna. That's all. And that's all you really have to worry about, that you're eternal servant of Krishna, because anyway, it's advised to give up these other designations, I mean attachment to these designations. Naham Ripo Na Chanati Vashanasuru Na Brahman Vaishya Kacha Suja Brahmacharya Gihasta Vanapanta. You're not that anyway. So if you're not attached to that, it means it's the same thing. So you can act in that particular role as far as possible, but without being attached to the actual position, but becoming attached to being a devotee of Krishna, devoted to Krishna, becoming attached to being devoted to the instructions of Krishna. And that is what's going to carry us through, that is going to purify us and spiritualize us as well as purify us. The purification is a byproduct of bhakti, whereas in the other dharmas, it's the main, it's the focus, it's the goal, right? Karma, jnana and yoga, they're to purify one's existence so one can reach the spiritual platform. But bhakti is immediately spiritual platform, direct. Immediately start the spiritual activities, you chant Hare Krishna, you serve Krishna. Immediately you're on the spiritual platform. And that is why when you're perfecting devotional service, then you may be doing the same thing as you did when you the first day you came to devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, doing some service for whatever your ability is or whatever you're asked to do for Krishna. So that doesn't change. So consciousness was the most important thing. Those other activities are meant to bring about a change in consciousness, but bhakti starts from that premise. You're eternal servant of Krishna. So you act as eternal servant of Krishna now. So immediately on the platform, the liberated platform. Whereas in those other processes, you purify yourself till you can come to that understanding. Krishna says, after many, many births of being a jnani, and you become a jnani after being many births of being a karmi, following karma kanda. After many births of being a jnani, then you understand Vasudeva Sarvamiti, long time, many births of being a jnani, self-realized. Then you come to that platform, then you surrender to Krishna. We start from surrendering to Krishna. Then automatically we're jnanis, yogis and karmis. We're performing activities. we're working for a result, but that result is for Krishna. We're studying the knowledge, the jnanis. We're studying about the difference between spirit and matter. That's the subject matter of jnana. We're discussing here, it's all about, the Bhagavatam is all about those two subjects. Right? What is spiritual and what is material? Remembrance of Krishna and forgetfulness of Krishna. That's it. Very simple. Other activities performed in Krishna consciousness are spiritual and otherwise not. It's very simple and practical. And so that's a direct path, bhakti. And bhakti, that when one develops bhakti, so actual devotion, then that is that devotion that invokes Krishna's mercy. Because by nature, Krishna is very merciful, ocean of mercy. His mercy is unlimited. That's his nature, as we see in the spiritual world. But how much can we appreciate of his mercy? He's our father, right? He's Krishna's humble. I'm the father of every living entity. So naturally he's kind of affectionate to his everyone, all his parts and parcels. And he's so much mercy there. But how much can you appreciate? When you recognize he's your father and treat him like your father, as someone, your well-wisher, who has no self-interest, generally the parents don't have any other interest except affection for their children. They don't exploit the children, right? So but when you understand that and reciprocate in the same way, then to that degree of our reciprocation, then you can realize that mercy. as much as you can realize, because of an ocean, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? Unlimited mercy is given. But the prerequisite is our independence. Krishna says, give me your mind. Let him not do that. give Krishna your mind and affection. He's our well-wisher. He's our father. He has no exploit. Like it. He doesn't want anything from us. He just wants to enjoy with us. He wants us to share in his enjoyment. Better. The highest class enjoyment. You can't improve on enjoyment that goes on in the spiritual world. This is all Krishna wants us to do. Come back there. But because of our independence is there, must be there, independence for variety in the spiritual world, this independence is there. But he wants to ask to stop misusing our independence and become dependent on him. Means our faith has to be that whatever Krishna says, whatever scripture says, whatever the pure devotees say, then that is actual fact. That is the best, in our best interest. But we're reluctant to accept that. My dear Lord, you have kindly made the posture easy by your holy name. But I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction. So that's in, especially now in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only simply chant Hare Krishna, give yourself to, surrender to the holy name of Krishna, and everything will be revealed, everything you want will be revealed. Everything you want in the material world, millions of times more, you'll get if you send it to Krishna. Ready, available, instantly available, if you can perceive it. Like, if you're in a dark room and you switch the light on, immediately there's light. Night time. If you switch it off, it gains dark. So it's like that. The spiritual world and the material world exist in the same place, the same time. So say some of us in this room are highly evolved, we see the spiritual world, and others are not so, but we see a material situation here. But it's the same thing. Same place, same time. So it depends on consciousness. But it's available at any time. But according to your capability of appreciating that, and that means your sincerity and your actual faith, the affection for Krishna, that's the adhikar to actually perceive the true nature of Krishna. So why don't we become attached to the holy name? May all his potencies are there, everything is available there. We can't not be attached. We have attachment. You can't live without attachment. Attachment is like desire, right? They're synonymous, almost, in one sense, they're synonymous. You're attached to something because of, you have a desire because you're attached to something. You have a desire to do something because you're attached to the result. What you get from that. So you have to be attached. So what is it, where is our attachment? Where is our desires? So this conditioned life, we're attached to so many other things. And we're endeavoring to fulfill those desires. Even we come into Krishna to fulfill those desires. Even we come into Krishna to fulfill our material desires. It's so foolish that we do that. But we're the most intelligent amongst the foolish conditioned souls. Because we're going to Krishna. And that is the real benediction. You're actually going to Krishna, you're approaching Krishna. He's purified, he's given that, you're approaching the supreme spiritual reality, Krishna. That is doing the trick. you may be going to ask him for something material. That's okay. Akama, Savakama, Moksha Kama, Udari, whatever you want. Liberation, full of material desires, no material desires, by all means. Of Dhruva was approaching Krishna for a material desire, big material desire. That was his desire, and so that was his attachment to get that, so he can keep his mother-in-law quiet. And Katya, they like to lord it, Katya's spirit. So I'll show them, I can do it. It's impossible dream, actually. So mother knew it was impossible. She said, but your father, and his father, Brahma, they got it by worshipping Vishnu. They got it by devotional service. They just surrendered to Vishnu, they got it. So what you want is impossible, but they got something. If you do that, you can also get. So he did it and he got it. he achieved his material desire. But that was by Krishna's mercy, coming through the agency of his mother and Narada Muni. Then ultimately Krishna was attracted by his sincere endeavor to see Krishna, to know Krishna. He practiced so staunchly his devotional service, not deviating. His mother told him, don't deviate. Huh? She says here, just situate the Supreme Person of Godhead in your heart, and without deviating for a moment, always engage in his service. Without deviating for a moment. So he did that. He had come from good stock. He was very controlled, very determined. He wouldn't let his mind go this way or that way. So determined. So he's a perfect, he's behaving as a perfect disciple. Didn't budge from those instructions. Solid. He wouldn't move out of those instructions. Krishna became attracted. Look what he's doing. Hey, what a wonderful disciple that. And then Krishna's attracted by his impure endeavor. But even though the motivation was impure, the motivation was material. But because Krishna was there, then he burnt that away. He got free from that desire without any separate endeavor. Right? When Krishna appeared, he said, okay, Krishna said, I've come. Vishnu came, I come to give you what you want. He said, what? I don't want anything. Hey, what are you saying? He said, no, you wanted this, that was, now I have seen you, and now I'm absorbed in devotional service, I've forgotten what I was actually came for. This is so nice. You gotta have it anyway. So he got the best, Krishna gave him the best of both worlds. But that, you see, that desire was purified without any extra endeavor. That's a byproduct of the pure devotional service. Whereas process of karma, gyan, yoga, they will gradually purify of your desires. When you're pure, then you can approach. You see the difference to the bhakti. Like Krishna raiment. You immediately serve Krishna, and all those desires are automatically taken care of. Krishna is the sun, like the sun. Darkness cannot stand, mind cannot stand it. So as long as you're always remembering Krishna, never forget Krishna, then Maya has no chance. That's our program. All we have to do is to endeavor to accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject what's unfavorable. We just have to learn what's favorable, what's unfavorable. That's all. And then apply ourselves. How you can, and that's individually we're all doing that too. The best endeavor that we can. But what's stopping us? What are these anathas? We're going through this anatha and everything. What are these anathas? This is the same thing that it's a, we're looking for the same a shadow reflection of what Krishna is actually offering. Complete safety, complete shelter. Complete happiness, complete shelter. That's what we're looking for in the material world. Basically, if you narrow it down, those two things. People want shelter, so they want to control. And then when they're peaceful, powerful, they can be happy, they can do what they want, fulfill all their desires. So it's the same thing. So whatever's going on this planet or the heavenly planets, they're doing the same thing. They're not satisfied. No one's really satisfied, right? The spirit impurities, even in the heavenly planets, there's impurities, right? They always get into fights and running off with others' wives and things like that. You don't hear of those things in the spiritual world. Right? They're all completely separate. You don't. There's no stories like that in the material, in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha and Ayodhya or Goloka. You don't hear of those. There's no scandals going on. Only one. Because Krishna's there, because they've established their relationship with Krishna, what else is there to be had? There's nothing better than that, than your relationship with Krishna. Because we don't have that relationship with Krishna, we're taking shelter and seeking happiness and this and that in the material world. That's the problem. And we're reluctant to give that up. Because there is a sense of safety, there is a sense of happiness. And because of that, we're reluctant to give it up. Then the mind will go. This is the anatta nivritti. So one has to be convinced that Krishna has made the approach very easy for us. He's the chanting Hare Krishna. And he wants us. This is what he wants us to do. But he's not interfering with our independence. It's completely up to us. And then it's completely up to him. But it's actually completely up to each of us individual. Krishna's not going to... He's waiting for that. Yeah? The ball is in our court. He's waiting for us to serve. It's a tennis terminology. He's waiting for us to serve. He's waiting for us to take the step to approach him. And even though it may be breaking his heart, he is still patient. Sometimes he can't help himself. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna says, I reminded you so many times. You've been away when Krishna unites with his lost devotee and material. I tried so many ways to attract your attention, but you wouldn't look at me. You wouldn't turn your head. So finally, I appeared personally. I came as your spiritual master and pulled you back to me. Very rare. Okay. So that's... Krishna's desire is to have us back. Prabhupada says Krishna loves you more than we love him. He wants us back more than we want to go back. It's ironical, isn't it? We'd all like to go back to Godhead, but Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead more. But still, we can't take these material desires with us. So that's what's holding us back. We can't penetrate to the spiritual world while we're holding and attached to these material desires. That is your independence. We're taking the role of Krishna. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Drupadi couldn't, she was trying to control the situation. She was appealing to all of anyone who could help was there, right? All the great kings were there when she was being disrobed. She appealed to all of them, they couldn't help her. Then, last resort, she was trying herself to hang on to her sari. And she realized she couldn't. She's up against Shishupal. She's up against Maya. She's a tender young woman. How can she fight? How can she do it? Then she realized hopeless. Hey Govinda, Pakistan. Krishna's rescue, all right, we can. Then Krishna gives the unlimited sari. And she thanked Bhavati. He said, Krishna, why do you leave it so late? Why didn't you come earlier? He said, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you ask me earlier? You're asking everyone else. You're depending on your own strength. I'm waiting there to serve you, but then when everything else is exhausted, only then you ask me. Then I immediately came. So that's us. We're like Drupadi and Shishupal in this material world. The material world is just making a fool of us by offering some shelter, some happiness, and we're going for it. And then we slap back. Little enjoyment, then suffering, then little peace, then fear. This is going on and on. And and while you're, and as long as you don't give up this idea, then you've got to stay here in the cycle of birth and death and keep on trying until you finally come to your lesson somehow or other. That there's no, you cannot. Atoms, the material energy is not our property. It's not under our control, it's under the control of Krishna via the demigods. We can't move it. And actually you can't enjoy it. But that feeling of enjoyment is there. It's actually meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. If you do enjoy something, then what happens? Immediately there's attachment. There's a sense of enjoyment, then you want to go back again. Then at the time of death you're supposed to think of Krishna. Prabhupada said the accumulation of your thoughts in the lifetime, that will define what you're going to think of at the time of death. So if you're finding your shelter and your happiness in the material world, at that critical time, that's what you're really going to be calling for. You really feel your need for shelter now. Everything is taken away from you. Your ability is taken away at the time of death. You really feel unprotected, afraid, if you haven't had good training, and vulnerable. So your mind will, if it doesn't go to Krishna, it will go to that shelter you had in the material world. So we have to give up this independent idea, like Drupadi. And all of the pure devotees that we read about. And then we see how Krishna reciprocates with them, like Sudama, the Brahmin. He comes to see Krishna, walks all the way, he's very poor. Krishna comes to see him, and Krishna jumps up from the Singhasan, embraces him, dusts him down, washes his feet. Tears in his eyes, he's seen his friend after a long time. Talking about the old days in the Gurukul. So nice. Krishna's feeding him. Lakshmi's. Rukmini's fanning him. And Krishna's so happy doing that. No, he's not doing it, he's doing it because he's a genuine friend. Siddhama didn't go there for any ultimate reason. Of course his wife sent him to get something because they were very poor. But he was ashamed to actually ask Krishna for anything. But now Krishna knew that, and when he went home, what did he find? Full opulence. His little heart had turned into a palace with maidservants. Now Krishna gave him that because he knew that it wouldn't affect his devotion to him, that he was already had great love for Krishna. And so this is how the Lord deals. Mahaprabhu, of so many incidents that Mahaprabhu is in loving dealings with devotees. When Srivastava's son died just down the road, and he didn't tell anything, he told the ladies that started howling. What's going on? He said your son has died. He said, anyway, let it be, nothing. There can't be anything inauspicious happen here while Chaitanya, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is dancing in our house. Don't think it's inauspicious. Anyway, I know you have to agree, but at least stop loud crying, otherwise you'll disturb the kirtan. So eventually Mahaprabhu, knowing everything, how come some calamity has taken place, I'm not feeling the usual ecstasy? No. How can any calamity take place when you're here? Everything is auspicious. And some of the other devotees told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, oh, well, when did this happen? He said, some hours ago. Why didn't you tell me? They said, Srivas didn't want to disturb your ecstasy, your kirtan. Mahaprabhu cried like anything, embraced Srivas. How can I ever leave you? He said, how can I ever leave such a devotee? You have so much love, so much affection for me. Your own son dies, and you're just putting that aside. So I won't be disturbed. Thinking my dancing won't be disturbed. Wept bitterly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's genuine. He has genuine love for his devotees, who have genuine love for him. It is normal. This is a normal thing in the spiritual world. So that's what we have to develop. We have to start with that. By first with a sense of duty, then that has to develop into affection when we actually learn about the Lord, how wonderful He is, how kind He is, and affectionate He is, and how much He actually wants us and the endeavors He goes to actually get us out of this material world. So that's what we should, that is a process of pure devotion and service. And as Srila Prabhupada finishes his purport, as soon as one places the Supreme Personality of Godhead within one's heart, everything becomes easy and successful. You have to try it. Put Krishna there. Try to be dependent on Krishna. You have to practice this. Try to be dependent on Krishna. Put Krishna in the heart. Krishna's in the heart already. He's there. I'll depend completely on Him. And all your fears will go away. And you'll be successful. If you can hold Him there, then that is success. Always remember Krishna. Vaisima Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai go Premanande. Hari Hari go. Any comments or questions? Otherwise we have one from the airways. This is from Biresh, Mumbai. One of the senior devotees explained that Srila Prabhupada said that Dhruva Maharaj is at the level of Kanista Adhikari. Is it correct? If yes, how can you explain that? Yeah, he didn't even know who God was, practically. But his mother told him, go to the forest. And then Narada Muni came and told him to worship Vishnu. So he's Kanista. He told him to make a little deity with mud and told him to give him a mantra to chant. I like this. So, of course, afterwards he became a beauty devotee when the Lord actually appeared. At that time he's Kanista Adhikari. He's approaching the Lord for material desires. But because he was successful, then because he approached the Lord, then he was successful. And then he became pure devotee at that time when he saw Vishnu. So that's the story. Is a nice story for us, because we're all canisters. We all have material desires. Otherwise we'd be pure devotees, pure unalloyed devotees. But we're not pure unalloyed devotees, most of us. So therefore we have these. But simply by practicing devotional service, those desires will be purified. So here's a historical example of such a person. And the Lord personally appeared before him in only 6 months also. So this will give us encouragement to not deviate from the path of devotional service. And then we're waiting for Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna.
If Dhruva Maharaj is Kanishta Adhikari, then we cannot, at least I cannot think that I am Kanishta Adhikari, because I am lower than Dhruva Maharaj. So what is my position? If Dhruva Maharaj is so exalted devotee, is Kanishta Adhikari, then what will be my position?
Insignificant.
I am not Kanishta Adhikari even.
Insignificant. One 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair.
Pardon?
You're 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. Smaller than an atom. And how much do you love Krishna?
So even if we think that I am Kanishta Adhikari, this is like a kind of pride. It is. If I think that I am Kanishta Adhikari, it is like pride. I am proud.
If you Prabhupada lists the Kanishta Adhikaris, you'll be surprised. All these sages, he's picking up all these big sages, he's calling them Kanishtas. But it means actually Kanishta. And now, when we translate it into our everyday terms, it means someone who is not unfavorable towards the devotee's devotional service. life member, someone comes to the Sunday feast, they're not unfavorable, they're not inimical towards the devotees or devotional service. They're not devotees, but it says even at that stage they can be called Kanista, all the way up to. Anyway, now we've been hearing in the classes that one should desire to come to the platform of, one should work to come to the platform of Madhyam to present the pure devotees' teachings. Being humble is okay, don't be too humble.
Hello?
Sorry.
Hello. One devotee was telling me, you know, that someone had called him a Kanista Adhikari. It's a derogatory term. He said, you know, I just wish I could become a Kanista Adhikari. I wish I could arise to that platform.
That's humility. Somebody called him a Kanista Adhikari, he took it as a compliment. We heard yesterday, Chinada Peace Initiative. This is our Siddha Sharup, Siddha Deho. They can practice that. And we serve Krishna, whatever we are, whatever title somebody wants to give us, or whatever title you deserve, so be it. But we'll just continue serving Krishna and his devotees.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dhruva Maharaj is given as the example of Artati. Krishna says there's four kinds of people who approach me. The distressed, those who want money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise. So Arati means he wants money, wants some wealth. So Dhruva Maharaj is actually given as by our acharyas as the example of an Artati. So they're not pure devotees. None of them are pure devotees, but they're approaching Krishna. And who's the others? Anybody can remember? It gives examples of personalities who are the who wanted material money, who wanted material relief. Gajendra, is it Gajendra? He wanted relief. So they name great personalities, great devotees. But they actually approached the Lord. They weren't pure, but by that process they actually became pure devotees. But their example is given.
Here's a letter from Radhapati Keki Das from Desert Place. When Sudama is in a poor condition, Krishna gave him all opulences when he approached him. Thus he is friend for him, even before he met him. So is there anything behind this? I can't understand what it means. When Sudama was in a poor condition, Krishna gave him all opulences when he approached him. Thus he is a friend for him, even before he met him. So is there anything behind this? Can anyone translate that? Or get the hidden meaning? Maybe he's saying that he was a friend of Krishna, but he was all... He only became rich, only became opulent when he approached Krishna, but all the other time, why didn't Krishna... I'm sorry, I don't know what this, what the point of this is. And our English translator is not his first language, who writes this down. Yeah.
One time I heard Admatattva, he was telling a story. He said that, just a connected story, how when he was to shear the sweet rice in the forest, then he wasn't under the same tree, so they had some. Sandipani Muni's wife had given something to eat, but he wasn't able to share that during the storm. Something simple. So he wasn't able to share that because of the storm. They were under different trees or something, so he wasn't able to share. So then later on, when the chip rice came up, he had to share that. You know. Whatever he had, that poverty, to give that, and that's when he got the opulence. There was some poverty there.
That's why he had to suffer the poverty.
Yeah, the poverty because he wasn't, he somehow he was restricted sharing, and then, so And he didn't want to share, wasn't it? The Krishna had to catch him and say, oh, you've got something for me. And then when he got that, that's the Krishna. Then Atmatan Prabhu.
When they were in the forest, it was raining, then Sudama had some chickpeas or sweet rice in his pocket, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't give them to Krishna. Maybe they were spread up or they... And he didn't give them to Krishna. He ate them himself. So therefore he had to go through a lot of poverty. When he approached Krishna later, and Krishna took some chip rice. There's the story behind it. You know where that story's from?
From just Atmatattva years ago.
There is a reason behind this, Katapati Prabhu. This is the best we can come up with. They were sitting very... So anyway...
Sudama had only a few chickpeas. And they were hungry and everything, but he didn't say anything. He was keeping to himself. You know, the roasted chickpeas, so sometimes he would take them and Krishna was here and he was punching. And Krishna says, what's that? He said, oh, nothing. He said, my teeth, I'm so cold, my teeth are chattering. He goes, no, it's not chickpeas.
The big wand, even if you hold a few chickpeas from Krishna behind your back.
Krishna doesn't see what you're giving, he sees what you're holding back. Prabhupada said that.
He's got a good sense of humor, Krishna. So, Bhagavatam ki jai.